your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. I'm sure these others I've failed to mention by name today. It's back vision or whatever, but I'm just glad you're here. Appreciate you coming and being with us. What a blessing that is to have you in the house of God with us today. Matthew chapter 8. And verse number 28. We'll begin reading there. Matthew 8, verse number 28. Will you stand, please, while we read the Word of God? And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. He said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Let's stop reading there and bow our heads, please, and go to God in prayer. Ask God to help us here today in a special way. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon the service. And thank you for the privilege we have to be in the house of God. Then, Lord, those who have come to visit, those who are you've enabled physically to be able to come back, for those, God, that may have come in with some family, we're just thankful, Lord, they're here today. I pray you bless all who are able to come. And Father, I praise your name and thank you for your goodness, mercy, and your love unto us. And now, Father, I pray in Jesus' name as we endeavor to take the Word of God and preach, I pray for that illumination of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I confess to you, without you, we can do nothing. And we need that divine touch of God. We plead the blood of Jesus, claim the victory in Jesus. And pray right now, Lord, you illuminate our minds and help us, God, to think and say what we need to say. And I pray you speak to hearts of those who've come. Know not the Lord Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit conviction be real, draw them to your side. And I pray, God, they be saved today. Then help those who may have come in, they don't have the joy, the thrill. And I pray the Holy Spirit deal with their hearts, their lives. Some discouraged, some need help, some praying for families. Whatever the need is, I pray you meet the need today. Magnify yourself. We'll give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Today I want to try to preach on this subject and just give you three thoughts, and that is three truths concerning devils. Three truths concerning devils. Now, in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8, you'll find parallel scripture to what I just read to you here out of the book of Matthew. Matthew speaks about two men there in a tomb, and Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8 speaks of one man. But he's dealing with the same thing here. They were possessed and they needed help. And that's some truths I see here that I quickly want to try to give you here today. As we look at, and I'm not going to turn there, you don't need to turn there, but in Mark chapter 5, you'll find that the man was ran through the tombs, and that they tried to chain him, they tried to put fetters on him, and no man could tame him, they couldn't help him, and he just needed some help from God, no one could help him. And so he was crying night and day and in that condition. Luke chapter 8 said, he ran naked through the tombs. And so you get the picture as you look at all three. You see here what it means to be possessed by the devil. And he has the control over their lives. And he drives them into the wilderness. And there they are in the tombs with the dead. And isn't that where the unsaved are? Among the dead, you're dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says, before you get saved. And so that's where they were in that condition. And there they were. Now, let me say a word about devils. We sometimes use the term demons. And Brother Craig was talking one day, and I got interested in that. And the term itself is not in Scripture, but when we say devils, we're not talking about Satan, Lucifer. We're talking about those followers of his spirits, evil spirits that follow him. And sometimes we use the term demons to identify who they are, but we're talking about those followers of the devil, Satan. We're called Christians because we follow Christ. That should be what we're called Christians. And so these devils called devils because they follow the devil. And they are of the devil and do his bidding and do what he wants them to do. And let me say this and just insert this right here. Everybody's life in this house, you're either following God or you're following the devil. And you can't be neutral on this subject, and because one or the other is leading your life. Now, some may be more yielded to the devil than others, and some may, as Christian people, be more yielded to God than others. But one or the other is our lives are being guided to some degree by them. And so here today, I don't know where you are. I don't know exactly what your life is and inside in the heart, but I do know this. I know Jesus saves sinners, and I'm glad that he has power over the devil, and he certainly can deliver you today out of that mess that you're in. Amen. And every one of us in a mess before we got saved, and we were on the road to hell without God, and we were separated from the commonwealth of Israel. We didn't know what we were. We didn't understand the deadness we was in. But when the Holy Ghost began to work in our hearts and began to bring conviction to us and draw us by his power and show us ourselves, and he had to show us ourselves for us to see ourselves, and then showed us Calvary, and then thank God through Jesus Christ we saw the way of salvation. I'm glad today that God saves sinners, but you can rest assured and hear me well today, the devil is at work in our world today. And devils certainly are at work. Evil spirits are at work. And we see that on every hand. They are at work. And you can rest assured that they are. So I believe these truths today are relevant for our day, and that we need to see these truths and recognize them in our day. And so let me say, first of all, about one of the first truths, the first truth I want to mention, is that they are destroying spirits. They don't help, they destroy. And when I say destroy, I mean wreck, ruin, tear down, mess up. And the devil brings all kinds of problems. Is that not true? I believe it's true. I believe it's right. Look at verse number 28 that I read to you. Talking about the two possessed with devils. About the middle of that verse said, coming out tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man may pass that way. Exceeding fierce. Now they were fierce people. Then look down in verse number 32. When it talks about the swine running down the steep place into the sea, said they ran violently down. I want to say today to you, what's happening in our generation anyway? Why do we see all the violence we see? And why all the fierceness that we see? The devil is at work in our day. And people are letting the devil run their lives, and devils are taking control of their life. And I got to thinking about this, and thinking about rock stars. And what little bit you see on an advertisement trying to watch news or something, and they're doing all kinds of stuff. And what little bit I know about it, it's a bunch of junk, but I don't see how anybody could act that way didn't have a devil in them. You say, preacher, you ought not say that. I've already said it, so amen. And can you imagine? I can't imagine a saved person even having a desire to do such a thing as that. Amen. And that kind of thing. But and then they sing songs about violence and death and all of that. And what's all that violence from TV programs and violence? If you turn the news on, somebody shot somebody. I remember what Ronnie Gilbert said one day. Watching the news is like watching a little Wild West show. Amen. Somebody always shooting somebody. And except the Wild West show, they always had the good man getting proven out to be good, and bad man getting what he deserved. But anyway, in the news, you don't know what's going on. But somebody shot somebody, killed their children, and they kill each other, and then all that stuff. Where's all that violence come from anyway? And that's coming from the devil. I'm saying today that you and I are living in a generation seeing the devil possess lives and take control of lives and seeing violence on every hand. How sad it is, that, but it's true. I want you to look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. I want you to see this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed, now listen to this, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. He said here they're following the doctrines of devils. And so the devil's got all kinds of doctrines out there in the world, and they're following that doctrine. And on every hand they follow the doctrine. Now, hang with me just a minute, please. As we think about this, not only in violence in all the places I talked about, but we find doctrine. The devil's been, and the things we talked about, rock stars, has even been brought into churches, so-called churches, and having all kinds of things like that to draw in the crowd, get the people come in. I believe old-time preaching and old-time singing and old-time trying to win people to God still gets the job done. Amen. I believe that we can just sing songs like we've been singing here today and sing, I'm glad my name's written down. I'm glad. Amen. I believe we can sing songs that praise God and give thanks to Him and glorify Him, because it still works. Amen. And God's still on the throne. God's still helping. How you know, preacher? God, I've been watching Him do it. Amen. I know it happened. I know it's still true. I say, praise God, and I'll have Him forever. Then I was thinking, as I thought about this message and thinking about truths about devils today, and people get on drugs and alcohol, and you say, well, I'm saved, and I can drink, and I can take drugs, and I can do all. Brother Bob back there laughing. He knows what I'm talking about. And when Jesus comes in, that kind of stuff somehow just leaves out. Somebody said, I didn't quit drinking when I got saved. I just changed fountains. Amen. Amen. We're drinking out of a fountain of dirt and filth and ungodliness and all that. But when we got saved, we started drinking from the fountain of water of life. Amen. That's a better drink. Amen. And you say, preacher, is it wrong to take a little a drink? Let me ask you something. Is it wrong to take a little bit out of the slop bucket? Yeah, and I've talked about slopping hogs. I talk about that stuff because I did all that kind of stuff and I'm familiar with it. But slopping hogs, we used to dump all the scraps out of the table in a bucket and put extra water into it if we need to, and then put some chop, you know what that is, that's hog feed, put that in there and stir it up with a stick and take it and feed it to the hogs. And boy, they really liked it. They blow bubbles, eat it, and got in it for feet and everything else. But I wouldn't have drunk out of that slop bucket for anything. I certainly wouldn't have got in there with the hogs and slopped it up like he did and got in my hands and feet and laid down in it like he did. And y'all, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And just slop it up and go with that. I wouldn't have done that. And you wouldn't have either. And you wouldn't have drunk out of the slop bucket either. And so if you won't drink out of the slop bucket, why in the world are you going to drink a slop anyhow? Amen. Well, you're welcome. I just thought I'd plug that in right there. And think, because we got a generation that it's getting to where they think drinking beer and drinking liquor and all that is fine, everything's okay. No, it's not okay. We need to be separated from that. Amen. And realize the fact that that's of the devil. You know why you do that? Because the devil is controlling your life. He's sitting on the throne of your heart and leading you into that junk and mess and drugs. And young people, you stay away from it. Amen. Don't get messed up in it. I don't care how groovy they say it is today or whatever the word is y'all use and talking about something that's supposed to be, fun and all that kind of stuff. Just forget it. Amen. Saying no, it takes more of a man. It takes more of a woman to say no to strong drink and drugs than it does to say yes to it. Amen. Anybody can get with the crowd and smoke a joint. Amen. But it takes a man or woman who loves God to stand up and say, I don't do that. I'm saved. Amen. And I, amen, young folk, I believe that'd be more pleasing to God. I know it is, not believe. I know it's more pleasing to God for you to say no to it than to get messed up in it, amen. And if you're letting the devil lead you in that way, it don't just, I'm not talking about just young people. I'm talking about moms and dads and grandpas and grandpas, amen. People get messed up with drugs and drinking alcohol and think that's our answer. That's not our answer. Our answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil here, he had these men all messed up. He's running through the tombs. He's acting like that because the devil's controlling their life. And so they was in a mess. But we need to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. I say we need armor, amen, and arm up, because the devil is on the rampage. But thank God we're saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. The devil cannot possess us. He may try to influence us, but he can't move in. Hallelujah. Why can't he move in? Because the Holy Ghost already lives there. And the devil can't move in where the Holy Ghost is. He, hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Brother Hazelwood, praise God, he can't move in. Because God the Holy Ghost already lives there. I say praise God and the Lamb for that. He'll try to influence you. He'll try to get in your mind. He'll try to smash you up and take your testimony away. But thank God, I'm glad when you're saved, born again, the Holy Ghost begins to convict and begin to draw. And you'll see that you can say no to the devil and yes to Jesus and live for God. I'm talking about this first point of the message. I'll get the rest of it in a minute. But man is no match for the devil. Look in verse number 29. Verse 28. And the latter part of that verse so said, so that, this is the last phrase of that verse, so that no man might pass by that way. No man could tame them. No man could do it. If man's power couldn't handle it, but I'm glad we got a God that can. I'm glad we got a God that's able to handle the devil and have him flee. And give you victory and save your soul, take that junk away from you and help you and birth you in the family of God. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad? Amen. Now, I know something else here in this scripture today. There's discerning knowledge here. Look in verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, our Son of God? They knew who Jesus was. They didn't have anybody tell them. They knew who he was. And James chapter 2, verse 19 says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I've heard people and tried to witness to them that I'd ask them about being, if they know God or saved. And they say, I believe in God. I believe in God. Did you know the devil does too? The devil believes in God. Because you believe there's a God, don't make you saved and going to heaven. Devils believe that, but they're not saved. And so you can believe that. And that's what they said. And so they had discerning knowledge. They knew enough to know who Jesus was. And they said, thou Son of God. They knew who he was and confessed that and knew that. But then they also knew that he had power over them. In verse number 29, last part, are thou come hither to torments before the time? I'll get back to that a little bit later. But look at verse number 21. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. Now they're saying, if you cast us out, let us go in those pigs over there and do that. They knew he had power to do it. And so they're saying, if you are going to do it, let us go into the pigs. They believed he had power to do it. You know what? We can learn something from these demons right here, devils right here. We can say that they knew who Jesus was, and then they knew he had power over the devils. Amen. I'm glad I know who Jesus is, but I not only know who he is in the head knowledge, in fact, I know him in the sense that they knew him, but I know him personally as my Lord and my Savior. Amen. I know Jesus Christ is real in my heart and my life, but then I know too he has power. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world if you're saved. If you're not saved, that's not true. But if you're saved, it is true. Aren't you glad today you have power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have victory in Jesus over the devil. I say praise God and the Lamb. I love this in verse number 32. Now here you find in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8, there's more talking goes on. But here in chapter 8 of book of Matthew, I want you to notice what Jesus says. Here he's come to them and they cried out and began to say who he was. And then they cried out and what to do with him. But Jesus only speaks one word, go. That's all he said. And they were asking about going to swine. He said, go. Just go on. Go. And they departed and went over and the pigs. And the pigs ran down a steep place into the water and they drowned. Now the devils had enough sense to know that. And Jesus allowed this to happen. And that's why I think about this could be some connection here of why I let the devil loose in the first place. Is the fact that God knew what they'd do. And so the devils knew that if a pigs drown, then they might have an opportunity. Demons, devils don't drown. Pigs do. And they drown, but devil's still there. And here's a bunch of folk that come out, and they ask Jesus to leave their coast. Notice in verse number 33, and they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. That sounds good at first. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Now, you would think a city would come out. Here they had tried to tame these men. Here they tried to chain them. They tried to hold them. They tried to rehabilitate them. They tried every way they could to help them, but they couldn't do anything for them. And here comes Jesus by. And he cast the devils out. They put their clothes on, and that's Mark chapter 5, and they sat down at the feet of Jesus in the right mind. Now, you think a city would come out and say, boy, wonderful it is. How good it is. They got help. And look at them now. You think that's what they do. But when they come out and saw them, and they realize there's about 2,000 hogs, and I believe Luke 8 talks about them, I talked about that many, maybe Mark 5, but anyway, it talks about 2,000 hogs had drowned. They got to thinking about the hogs and losing them, and those two men didn't mean too much to them. It didn't make much difference to them. They lost their hogs. And they asked Jesus to depart out of their coast, ask him to go. Let me say to you today, friend, you may get saved and born in the family of God, and somebody may not think too much about it, may not want to help you much, may not want to say too many good things about you, but take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd rather stand for Jesus than have the approval of the world. I'd rather stand for the Lord Jesus Christ than let the world pat me on the back and say, boy, that's all right. Hey, they got what they wanted. Jesus left town, but I want you to know the devils knew something else. They only knew destroying power. They didn't know how to help anybody. All they knew to do is destroy, wreck, and ruin. That's all the devil wants to do to you is wreck and ruin you. And then they knew who Jesus was, but they didn't act on it. And faith, they couldn't, and they didn't have the opportunity. Jesus did not die for a fallen devil. Jesus did not die for fallen angels. Jesus did not die to help evil spirits. Jesus died for mankind. Amen. Hey man, I'm glad I'm one of those he died for. I'm glad I don't even know who he is, but I'm glad I know him. I'm glad I'm saved and born in the family of God. And so here they knew who Jesus was. They knew those kind of things, and they knew he had power over them, but they couldn't get saved. I'm glad I know all that too, but I got saved. And you can get saved today too. Let me give you the third thing and I close. They knew they had a declining time. Time was running out. They knew it. Look in verse number 29. they said, and they cried out saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They knew there was a time that they was going to be tormented. They knew that. And they said, have you come to torment us before the time? Let me say to all of you today, myself and all of us, time's running out. Time's running out on all of us. But those that's lost without God, time's running out on you to get saved and get born in the family of God. Are you today choosing? Are you choosing the devil's crowd and the hogs over Jesus? Are you choosing you'd rather have the drink and the drugs and illicit sex? And are you saying I'd rather have that than I would Jesus? Are you saying I'd rather live in that kind of a lifestyle than have Jesus Christ to save me, birth me in the family of God, and be a child of the King? I believe I'd rather just be a child of the King. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us and saving us. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for all that you've ever done for us. I praise your name and give you all the glory. I pray now, Lord, for those in the house of God that have been saved. They need to take their stand for the Lord Jesus. I pray for those in the house of God today that they're lost. They're without God. They need to come to Jesus and let him move in their hearts. Let him save them. Birth them in the family of God. Then there are those here today that saved and they don't have the joy. They've grown cold and indifferent on God. I pray you to help them to come. This day there's some, Lord, that need to pray for others or whatever the need is. I pray the Holy Spirit to help us today. As we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down to the right hand of God. Father, help us. I pray that we'll put that whole armor on and let you have your way. Now speak to hearts. Thank you for what you do in this invitation, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus. I'm pleading today, God, for you to magnify yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.